Now we're in a transition a little bit. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I want to thank everyone for, well, first we should start with Brian Gerch because he got us on Twitch and he's going to do it again tomorrow. So God bless him. I want to thank everyone for calling and texting and emailing.
Most of all, thank you for listening on this Wednesday.
I want to thank our executive producer. His name is Dustin William Rhodes, but he's not here.
Great show.
Yeah. And want to thank Mike Rankin. Mike, thank you for all of your hard work. Appreciate that.
Collaboration.
We were collaborating. And Ray, it moves me, man. All that you do for the cause of humanity. Thank you.
Tim, what did you think of the uniform?
I think we could do better. I think we can do better, man. We got to get some players' opinions on that. It's pretty cool, though.
And now is the time in the program where the heat goes up and everyone starts.
It's hot in here.
It's getting all hotted up, as we say.
Hotted up in here.
Among the English. It's Dan Bernstein and Layla Rahimi. Good morning, guys. How are you?
I am not apologizing for adjusting the thermostat.
You don't adjust it. It's like, it's jacked up. I mean, it goes from being cool in the studio to like, wow.
We talk about a 50,000 watt blowtorch.
I'm telling you, there's going to be a cold front here, and it's going to start raining in the studio.
It's like, man.
Listen, the fact that you guys have to torture yourselves to stay awake, and it makes sense, I get. But that doesn't mean that we have to deal with that from night to noon.
Welcome to the Hyundai Score Hot Yoga Studio.
Yeah, it is immediately preceded by the Hyundai Score Meat Locker.
Okay, that's very well put.
I like to punch the meat in the morning.
Yo. That was my attempt at Rocky. It didn't work out very well.
Close I can't enough. Believe that I have been doing this as long as I have. And today I learned that it was Jimmy Johnson involved in switching both Jimbo Covert and
Dan
Hampton.
Is that extraordinary?
I knew about Covert, didn't know about Hampton.
Amazing. I mean, just what an incredible, harmonious sort of football convergence
amazing
that is.
Amazing contribution to the greatest team in Chicago history.
And let's not forget, too, Mark Bortz was a defensive lineman also.
He was also, like, from Village of the Damned.
What?
Did you ever see Mark Bortz?
Yes, I know.
Did you ever see Village of the Damned? Take a look.
Okay.
But very intrigued.
But that is the fact that Jimmy Johnson could watch a practice and be like, yeah, no, doesn't fit our system. We got to move him over.
I know right away.
Both Hall of Fame. What are the odds?
Yeah.
Different schools. Yeah. And he's the positional coach that moves Jimbo Covert as a freshman and moves Dan Hampton as a freshman. And both are Hall of Famers from the same team.
It is uncanny.
You should write a book.
Uncanny. It really
Seriously,
is
you should. Somebody should write a book about that.
Yeah. Well, it's my fact, so I should be the one writing it.
Go ahead.
Back off, David.
I'll just write a blurb.
Dan will say, this is one of the greatest books ever written.
Yes.
Because I inspired it.
I'll be the social media hype machine, obviously. All generations are covered in this book promotion.
That would be so much fun just interviewing Wani for that book, right?
Oh, he loves that story.
He does.
He loves it. Yeah.
I love his sort of the brat pack, this like the rollicking crew.
It was great. He rolled in here this morning by surprise. Came in here, and then we had a hard time getting to the next segment because he was telling us stories during the break, and you know, he's like, okay.
It was great.
But seriously,
really
his crew, like that tight crew, he mentioned like it's Rich Dalrymple. I don't know the name of the lawyer, but Tony
Wise.
Troy and Jimmy and just like all in their Hawaiian
Turner.
Shirts,
yeah.
And like they go from the boat to the golf course to their Harleys, and it's got this whole kind of like I said, Brad, we're like Rat Pack, like Sinatra and Sammy Davis Jr. and Joey Bishop and Lawford, and you know,
if you ever have the opportunity to kind of sit down with Dave and talk it over, you got to hear some of those Miami stories when they were at Miami. Think about that. Like, this is before all the NFL success or anything like that happened. They were absolutely putting together, like, the best teams in the country. And then when Jimmy went to Dallas, that was the whole thing. They knew. They had recruited every guy in the country. Even the ones that didn't go to Miami, they knew every one of them. They knew them inside out. They knew everything about their high school careers and how good they should have been, would have been. What they could do with them, that was an unbelievable advantage once the NFL thing came.
That Russell Maryland draft pick, I think, will always be underrated.
Those drafts. Look at those drafts. It was
ridiculous. Ridiculous.
What did the Dallas Cowboys and the Miami Hurricanes also have in common in those days? I mean, there was not a whole lot of institutional control going
on.
That was a lot of fun.
But that's part of those.
That was part of it.
Part of those stories. Was, there was like this kind of.
Those are the stories they can only tell amongst themselves. That's why they're always getting together.
There were stories I heard about the Friday before, like even in a game week, a game prep week in Dallas, where at like 11 o'clock on a Friday, chilled vodka shots would start in coach's office. And it was just a thing that they did.
Well, and the best part is, and this is of no offense to Norv Turner, but with that offensive line, you could run the lead draw every play. It would get 5 yards a play. It's not like you had to call a bunch of different plays. The execution on those teams was just absolutely top level.
And some of those offensive linemen ran into problems, too.
Yeah, just a few. Yeah.
Well, categorically speaking.
We got to go for a drive.
Well, I'm always fascinated, too, by the – it's usually more collegiate than it is pro. And I remember years ago talking to Ron Turner about positional changes and moving guys from one side of the ball to the other. It was really fascinating stuff where when he was at Illinois, he said, we do this in a spring practice. We set aside, he said, I'll always tell the assistants, look at a guy with completely open eyes.
Okay.
And he said, well, it's usually spring.
And these are college football players.
College football players and generally underclassmen.
Yeah.
Where I'll say, let's really be as honest as we can be. Is this guy a cornerback?
Right.
Or is he a running back? And they went out of their way to do that, to be open-minded. They didn't want to force anything, but they said, let's really think about how we want them to move and how we see them. And they would actively say, are we utilizing these guys at the proper positions, regardless of how we recruited them?
And regardless of what the player thinks
or
wants. So, your own experiences. I was a high school wide receiver and defensive back. But in my small town, and I went to Ball State, and I thought it was the greatest thing in the world. I went there because I thought I had a chance to play right away, and I was a wide receiver and going to be that guy, you know? And I walk in to my first day of training camp as an 18-year-old freshman, and they give me a defensive playbook. And I'm like, what's this, you know?
Right.
Well, you're going to play safety. You're going to play safety here. You're not a wide receiver. I said, well, what about – I got my single-digit number.
Do you know who I am?
I'm a wide receiver. I left the meeting room after the meeting. I went to the phone booth. That's how long ago it was. And I called home and I said, I got to get out of here. They just told me I was a defensive back. And it was the hardest thing to make. But people, when coaches, to your point, make that decision for you – it's often the right decision.
Well, when
it's usually the right decision.
It's a reason why these baseball drafts, why you take shortstops and center fielders.
They're experts.
Yeah, and
they know what they're watching.
This nice young man who wants to play shortstop for the White Sox is probably not going to play shortstop for the White Sox.
That's what I thought of too.
He's just probably not.
Yeah, Colson Montgomery.
Yeah, you draft all the shortstops because they're the best players on the team.
Yeah,
you draft the center fielders because they're the best outfielders, and Happ has talked about it before.
Yes,
he always describes. He says in the major leagues, every team now is starting three center fielders.
Yep.
With the exception of the White Sox, probably. He said that's just. He goes, those guys were all great fielders who are now corner outfielders.
Walk around an NFL locker room and talk to guys. You'd be stunned at how many played quarterback at some point in their lives.
Exactly.
Because they're the best player. They're the biggest guy. They're the guy that has to have the ball in their hands because he's that guy. I remember doing a story like that. Like Alex Brown was like a really good high school kind of option quarterback, which you take a look at him and you'd never kind of guess that or think about it. And I remember talking to Tommy Harris one time, and he was a defensive tackle. When he was a kid, he was a defensive tackle. He played decent defensive tackle and nothing else his whole life. And he was just like a specialized defensive tackle. And when you think about the way he played and everything, and I ran this by him because I had heard that
it was natural.
He used to listen to game tape like from the broadcast because he wanted to hear the quarterback with the cadence, and he went, you know, because if you think about it, that guy would be in the backfield like as the quarterback is snapping the ball. He had an unbelievable.
Well, near the end of his career, he was just guessing.
Well, but I'm saying the point is that he would actually study that, which he denied to me, but I knew for a fact he was doing it. And it was very difficult to not write about it, but I mean, it's just fascinating to think about, You're right. You become a certain expert at something because you didn't play all the other positions.
Yeah, and you have to trust those coaches in making the right decisions, and you know, and typically that's why they're employed. And if they don't make the right decisions, they won't be employed for long.
Well, there was always an ongoing joke at Texas about how every great athlete that they missed on was recruited as a safety. And I think what really happened was that Johnny Manziel being the most famous example, perhaps. Well, Johnny Manziel was recruited to Texas to be a safety. And what happened was that Dwayne Aquino, who was the defensive backs coach at the time, was an excellent judge of talent and was like, well, if you guys don't want him for this, I'll recruit him as this. Because he knew he could coach those guys into those positions. So it ended up manifesting as the joke of Texas always wanting to miscast everybody, but it was just Dwayne trying to get the best athletes on the team.
That's interesting because I think that when you see a lot of safeties specifically, you don't recruit safeties necessarily.
Right.
You recruit athletes.
Right.
You recruit cornerbacks, you recruit wide receivers, quarterbacks.
Your best safeties are guys that
played
other positions.
Yeah, your best safeties are guys who end up being like converted wide receivers or running backs
Dawkins
or whatever.
He wants
the ATH, you know, the athlete, not necessarily the actual specialist.
You know, the difference in football, too, is the way you can then manage the body and what your strength and conditioning coaches and your nutritionists are going to do at that level where, and it's brutal, as a lot of guys know, where, like, remember when Lovey came to the Bears? That's the Alex Brown thing, where Lovey's like, okay, we need you to lose 30 pounds.
Lose weight, pull your hamstring, and come back,
right.
We need everyone to pull their hamstring.
Right, another coach comes in and says, I need you to gain 30 pounds.
Yes! Right.
And because
that's fascinating, and I think that's a big part of the story, but there's another element of it, and I forget. It was somewhere, I think it was the San Diego Superchargers or somebody in like the 1970s that got, maybe it was early 70s, late 60s, they got, and it's out there somewhere, I'll try to dig it up, but they put together a personality profile of every position. And it's like offensive linemen, they're the kind of person, they're like this reliable type.
They have like an organized sock drawer.
It was like dog breeds.
But it is, it's like part of your personality. Like wide receivers, and this is probably you, David, when you were younger, are like these look at me guys. I'm going to show you. It's like a totally different type of personality. And you know the personality from different players you think of when we talk about it. So I'm wondering, and this is one of the things that I would love to talk to Jimmy Johnson about. When you look, and this is one of the reasons I brought it up, because I heard that there was an element to this. When you look at a guy like Jimbo Covert, even if he's the best defensive tackle prospect, he shows personality traits that you would love to have on the offensive line. When you see an offensive lineman like Dan Hampton, who is the Danimal, he shows this ferocity and this sort of aggressiveness that would be better used on the defensive line. Does that come into play when he's making those determinations?
Without a doubt. I'm sure it does, but I think...
Without a doubt, mentality matters.
I do think positional psychology, or that it is, sounds kind of fishy, kind of eugenics.
When you read the thing, you'll laugh out loud because it's so spot on with with the way you perceive different positions to sort of behave.
Show me a good linebacker, I'll show you a confident young man, a real assertive guy. Most of your linebackers are either quietly confident or they trust their instincts in ways that
linebacker mentality
matter. Yeah.
I just like the idea of the linebacker's job being to ruin whatever the defensive plan is. Chaos agent.
Well, there's some of that too, but you're right. I think that the coaches who do this at a high level for a living and are successful at it, like Jimmy Johnson was early in his career, they detect these certain personality traits that they can project in a way that the rest of us can't.
Well, didn't we also have this conversation recently with Tevin Jenkins? The idea being that he has to hype himself up to get to that level, and the focus that he needed to have his latter years of his college career ended up being partly what got him to the NFL in this iteration.
Yeah, but he's an offensive lineman, you know,
right?
Because he's probably, again, somebody along the way thought he doesn't have the mentality to play defense.
I can't wait to see what he looks like as an offensive lineman. I'm very curious to find out how good a left tackle.
Well, you hope he's got some nasty in him, right?
Well,
you say that
he's supposed to.
Yeah, he's supposed to.
But I'm saying, you know, he also has to have some some pass blocking in him.
Yes,
it's a totally
some technique.
You know, a pancake in a guy is one. You think about the engulfing, overwhelming player, physical, as the right tackle, not the left tackle.
Right, the left tackle can be the dancing bear or the athlete.
And I just, my only concern about him, where was he selected? 38th? I forget the number, but he did not get picked in the first round. I know they traded up to get him, but that means that other teams weren't looking at him as a left tackle.
Well, you know why, though? I think partly why is because of what we're talking about. A lot of guys who evaluate drafts for a living, they look at these traits and they magnify them and their importance. So they may think that, Tevin Jenkins isn't nasty or maybe doesn't have this skill set or whatever it is about the mentality.
And maybe it's also a projection in a pandemic where you don't have a proper season. You don't have you have to rely on something else that you've seen.
Higher variance.
Yes. Yeah. So,
who knows? There could be some real draft flops and real busts and real out of nowhere stars just because of variance.
There always is in the Major League Baseball draft, but it could be extraordinarily so this year.
It could be. How did you know I was so flashy in high school?
I know the
personality. I was Mr. Flamboyance.
I know.
I was very flashy. Driving
what,
around.
What have you guys got today?
Wait, did you have personalized license plates?
That's right. Yeah, right. On my tractor.
No, on his back.
Yeah, right. Oh, boy.
What have ye?
We are going to talk football with Mike Florio as he checks in at 10. We're going to talk a little bit about our response to the All-Star game last night, too, obviously, to start out the show. Tony Andracki, the digital content manager and Cubs reporter for Marquee Sports, will do some Cubs with us. Midday Midway, Cody Decker, and then at 11:20.
It's moving up, actually, because Tony had to move, so we flipped it to 10:20.
Happened. So at 10:20. At 10:20. Do you remember back in the day, 6:70 a.m., the t-shirts that said WMAQ is going to make me rich?
Sure.
That was the bumper sticker.
Yeah, I remember
WMAQ is going to make you rich. And that was when you called in, you had to say that and you might win money. That was the thing. On this frequency.
Yeah,
these airwaves. Mm-hmm. Well, this was in large part Layla's brainchild.
Which is why.
You're going to make people rich?
Yeah.
I definitely have not done that.
Yeah, we're late. We've been late to the NFT market.
I heard you guys talk about
the non-fungible tokens.
Okay. Oh, good. So you made up of your own cryptocurrency? So
we're going to open a pack. We've got a pack, and this is an investment opportunity. We're going to open a pack, and we're gonna see if we can make you rich.
So you're going to get rich and go broke in the same segment, because that's basically how volatile
now
it is.
That's
very
how
possible.
Do it.
All right. WMAQ is going to make you rich and make you broke.
Didn't you have to say that in a country accent? Wasn't it?
Were they country then?
They might have been, because I just seem to remember WMAQ is going to make me rich.
Yeah, I don't remember if it was then,
or maybe that was just David.
Then it was
that
was just me. Yeah,
it was that, and then Drew Hayes was.
I was
right?
Country before country was cool.
That's right. You go back old school.
I don't remember if that's when they were country.
I don't either. All right. Well, we'll be listening. Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much.